I know there's somebody that would like to do that. Well, I can't see anybody. Well, greetings, everyone. What a glorious day in Kelowna. Man, oh, man, I just got up this morning and blue sky and the sun is out. What a fantastic day to be alive. And being here at the Feast of Tabernacles makes it even a greater day. So I know from talking to others and looking at your faces, hey, it's going to be a great feast. Well, before I get started, I've got to tell you that the title that you see in that announcement, forget it. Mr. Palmer asked me quite some time ago for a title, and well, I didn't have anything prepared, so I gave him a title, and I thought, well, I'll kind of wrap something around that, but it never got off the ground. So if you want a title of what I'm going to do today, it could be The Characteristics of a Spiritual Champion. Now, we all know that the world is in a terrible mess, and while we don't know what tomorrow may bring as far as trials are concerned, ours is not to worry. If you tend to be a worrier, well, I need to tell you that all your worrying isn't going to change a thing. And so for God's people, there is no need or reason for us to sit around wringing our hands. Because if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and not the problems that are the obstacles that are in our path, you know, we're going to be fine, and this is where faith comes in. Now, we could take comfort in the knowledge of the promises of God that He will always be there for us. And I know that you've heard that time and time again in the past, but the thing is, do you in here believe that? Now, we live in an age where everything needs to be faster, quicker, instant. And so it's not uncommon for some people in the Church of God that when their prayers don't get a quick response or the response as quickly as they would like to have, well, doubt sets in. They ask themselves, is God really there? Well, yeah, He is. He is always there. And what we need to understand is that we're on His time schedule and not the other way around. And because the way God works, it will be in His way and in accordance to His time schedule for us. And because, you see, He works with each of us individually. And so, brethren, He will protect and He will help and test and strengthen and support and guide each of us onward to the finish line of what the Apostle Paul has referred to as the race of life. So climb aboard and let's enjoy the journey because everything is on schedule. So we're here to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, to rejoice before God. And we have the opportunity to get together with old friends and the opportunity to make new friends and to appreciate the natural beauty of the area that we're in. But as it was already mentioned this morning, afternoon, that first and foremost, that we are here to hear messages that God has inspired to be presented to you during this time of refreshing. So during our time here, it's my hope and prayer that all of us will have the best feast ever. And to make it the best ever comes from having a giving heart and attitude. To strive to make someone else happy. And I'd have to say, men, if you have been blessed with a wife, come on now, guys, cherish her and do something very special for her. And wives, you can kick them in the ribs and you can report back to me and see how this works out, okay? But let's not forget to renew our spiritual strength daily. Because we can't afford to allow the physical activities that we have at a feast to crowd out what is the most important, that is our spiritual condition. Now, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "For this reason we do not become discouraged. Our spiritual being is renewed day by day." And let's remember that early on in our spiritual journey with Christ, that God taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," because we need daily renewal. We need that daily renewal and refreshing that can only come from Him. Now, paraphrasing what the psalmist said, he said, "Lord, when doubt fills my mind, when my heart is in turmoil, quiet me and give me renewed hope and cheer." Well, do you know why we need to be here? I mean, aside from observing the Feast of Tabernacles, we need to be renewed, and we need to be refreshed, and we need a spiritual pick-me-up. And with the whole world around us in chaos, you know, it's bound to have a negative effect on us to one degree or another. And so we need our spiritual battery recharged, and we need our fire rekindled. Now, I'm talking about those embers that still are within us, that are alive and still glowing, but they need to be stoked with the fire of God's Holy Spirit. And folks, come on, let's face it, we need to get pumped up. And this is an exciting time to be alive. Just look at the whole thing. The world is unraveling, and we can rejoice today in the fact that today is one day closer to the return of Jesus Christ. That's got to do something for you. So in the Reader's Digest, not too long ago, they published the 7 characteristics of an Olympic champion. And it was quite interesting to see the very close similarity between an Olympic champion and our spiritual walk with Christ, that it enables us with God's help to become a spiritual champion, which is what our heart's desire should be. So what is a spiritual champion? What does a spiritual champion look like? Well, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8, we see the example of a spiritual champion that has experienced life in the full, one who has succeeded, one who has come to the end of his life and has been a champion for Christ. The Apostle Paul, to me, is the man to whom we should look, other than Jesus Christ, of course, if we want to see the profile of a spiritual champion. Now, did any of you have the opportunity to see the Olympic Games on TV, the games that were held in China? I had an opportunity to tune in some of it, and it's just absolutely amazing what these young people can do. The men and women athletes that had qualified to participate in the games came from all over the world, places where they were already recognized as champions. But their longing, their core desire, was to be a world champion, to win the gold medal, to win the highest prize. And they spent the major part of their lives preparing for that and training for that. Now, Reader's Digest said that there are 7 characteristics that are a profile of an Olympic champion. So let's see if we can identify and relate from a spiritual perspective. Now, number one, they all had a dream and a goal. They all envisioned years before of becoming an Olympic champion. And that dream, that goal, that vision filled and consumed their lives. Everything they did, brethren, was with that goal in mind. Now, if you and I are going to be spiritual champions for Christ, we must have that dream and that goal, the vision of being all that God can make us to become that person that God can use to glorify Himself. Secondly, they are all fired up. I mean, for them, that Olympic torch that is passed is a symbol of a fire that burns deep within them. It gets their juices going. It gets their adrenaline flowing, and it excites and motivates their desire to do whatever it takes to become a world champion. Now, you and I have been blessed with God's Holy Spirit, and it can be likened to having a fire within us. It should be like a fire within us. And that fire has to be tended to, brethren, to be allowed, to be fanned, to be fueled, to burn in our heart, to make one burning desire in our life, which is to get fully involved in God's Olympics, the game of life. Now, number three, they bounce back. Now, many times on the road to the Olympics, they face difficulties and disappointments, but they always let those disappointments make them stronger and better and focused and more determined. And Paul was that way. Now, we know pretty much his history. He had a lot of disappointments along the way. He had many, many difficult times. But every time he had a difficulty, he said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." And Paul always came bouncing back. Now, number four, they aim high. Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." How about us, brethren? How are we doing? Is our spiritual aim high today? You know, it's not a bad idea to take inventory and see how you're doing. Now, number five, they planned for trouble. They improvised continually in the contest because they know that things will not always go as planned, and they are always prepared to change direction if necessary. If they miss a jump, they are prepared for the next one. And you and I, in our spiritual walk, have to be ready because we don't know what obstacle lies in our path. And while we may be firmly grounded in sound doctrine and accept our responsibility to live a godly life, we need to be aware of the fierce and the invisible warfare being waged against us. Because Satan is very cunning, and he is so very, very subtle, and he can sandbag us without us even being aware of it. And we need to be prepared to change directions as God's Holy Spirit leads us. And then there's number six. They never quit. Now, perseverance characterizes all Olympic champions. They may get knocked down, but they get up and they keep on going. Any spiritual champion is characterized by perseverance and stick-to-itiveness in their spiritual journey with Christ. And Paul was a great example of that. Well, you're familiar with his life. He had a never-say-die attitude, and regardless of how difficult our life can be or how many times we get knocked down, whatever it is that knocked us down, get it out of the way, because we don't want our focus to be there. We keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, because that is the way that we are going to keep on moving steadily toward our goal. And believe me, brethren, throwing in the towel is never, ever an option. Now, number seven, they make their own luck. You know, there are times when the favorite athlete may fail or stumble. And in doing that, of course, it presents a golden opportunity to someone else. A spiritual champion doesn't depend on luck. Depends on God. And a spiritual champion is ready to take advantage of every opportunity to rise to the challenge that faces them. Beginning now, here at Kelowna, and continuing throughout the coming year, I want to challenge all of us to set a new goal and to have as a dream of our heart to be spiritual champions for Christ, to be fully involved in the game of life that God enables us to play. so that one day we could say, as Paul did in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Have a fabulous feast, my friends.